ABC Radio Australia.
The UN agency that regulates the global shipping industry maintains it is taking bold steps to reduce greenhouse gases. The International Maritime Organization has been criticized for moving too slowly on climate change. But with increasing attention being paid to the shipping industry's carbon emissions, even the organization's critics are hopeful more action will be forthcoming. Liam Fox reports.
With the COP26 climate summit less than a month away, climate change and how to stop it, or at least slow it down, is firmly in the global spotlight. By comparison, the issue of what the shipping industry is doing to cut its contribution to global warming has not captured much attention, but that is changing.
There's a lot of work to be done in examining new methods of propulsion, alternative fuels, further energy efficiency measures to be taken for existing ships.
Frederick Kenny is the Director of Legal Affairs and External Relations Division of the International Maritime Organization. Part of the IMO's remit is to reduce pollution from ships. Pollution like the carbon dioxide produced when tankers, bulk carriers and cargo ships burn heavy fuel oil as they transport goods and materials around the world. It's been estimated that international shipping is responsible for around 3% of global carbon emissions, about the same amount as Germany.
The IMO was the first international organization to adopt regulations improving the energy efficiency on ships, and that was the first effort in any transport sector internationally, and that began in 2011.
Despite that, there are those who say the IMO hasn't done much since then.
Yeah, interesting spin. And IMO is obviously saying, huge job to do, and we're trying to do everything we can, and look, we're making some progress. But the reality is, the size of the challenge, the size of the emergency, and the immediacy of change required outstrips any performance the IMO has yet demonstrated.
Dr. Peter Nuttall is an advisor to the Micronesian Centre for Sustainable Transport, and he's been a vocal critic of what he sees as a lack of meaningful action by the IMO on climate change. A major reason for that, he believes, is the makeup of the organisation. According to a recent New York Times article, of the 174 member countries, around a quarter are represented by industry representatives, not their own government officials. That means representatives of shipbuilders, shipping registries, miners, chemical manufacturers, and others with a financial stake in the industry are among the delegates. Dr. Nuttall says that's okay when the IMO is dealing with technical issues like shipping safety, but not when setting the course on climate change.
The large political questions about what member states are going to determine is the level of ambition of the industry and allocation of cost and then spending of revenues. So those discussions are primarily political, not technical in nature.
Mr. Kenny disagrees.
The member states have shown real commitment and dedication to addressing the issue of climate change, and they've taken some very bold steps. And away from GHG, for example, the IMO member states adopted regulations that greatly cut sulfur emissions from ships. Those regulations went into effect last year, and the implementation was very successful.
Dr. Nuttall doesn't think action on sulfur is such a good example.
Those took 16 years and a highly stepped process in which to implement. That's 16 years in which we suffered the environmental and human health effects of having really elevated sulfur levels.
Mr. Kenny points to the IMO's adoption in June of an efficiency rating for ships as another example of climate action.
Much like you would see an energy efficiency rating on a refrigerator or something like that. And what that'll do is it'll rate each ship as to how energy efficient it is. And if ships are rated too low, they will have to develop an action plan to correct that and come into line with the regulations.
But again, Dr. Nuttall sees that as tinkering at the edges of the problem.
We're talking 1% to 3% overall savings. It's pretty marginal. And we're still fighting over them. So they're not even nailed down yet. So when you look at what real progress has been made to date, we're not keeping up with the rise in emissions, let alone peaking and dropping off.
What is clear is that more attention is being paid to the issue than has been the case in the past. Stories about shipping emissions are now appearing on mainstream news organisations like the New York Times and the BBC. That is contributing to a growing desire among some delegates at the IMO for greater action, something Mr. Kenny acknowledges.
The current target in the initial strategy is a 50% reduction by 2030 and elimination by the end of the century. However, there have been some member states calling for more aggressive action in that regard.
Pacific states are among those calling for more aggressive action. Marshall Islands and Solomon Islands have jointly submitted a proposal for a carbon tax to wean the industry off fossil fuels and fund research into other sources of power. Dr. Nuttall says the IMO is under more scrutiny than it's ever faced before.
Everybody is watching this space. No one would have asked the questions of the IMO that you've just asked 5 years ago. And you have industry going, there is a lot of money to be made in transition, and we want to be involved in this transition. That's major steps forward.
Dr. Peter Nuttall from the Micronesian Centre for Sustainable Transport, ending Liam Fox's report.